Congress and also the order with us today to attend the remainder of the meeting of the leaders of the business.
Well, we have to quickly get into the message of God's Word this morning once again to hear what God has to say to us. I've really enjoyed this study in the Gospel of John, and I hope you have too. As we look into God's precious Word this morning in the third chapter, you remember we came to those wonderful verses in that third chapter. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We have mentioned through these studies that so many people think that God is ready to judge them, but you know, God is not on the throne of judgment this morning. God is on the throne of grace, ready to save the sinner, ready to forgive us of all of our sins and our iniquities. And He did not send the Lord Jesus Christ to condemn the world, but that He wanted to save the world. And you notice in that 18th verse it says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's he that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're saved for all eternity. Isn't that a great thing? It's great to be saved and to know it and to show it to the world and to tell them what Christ has done for you. And then you notice in that verse, but it says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. You're condemned, my friend, already before the bar of God. I'm so glad this morning that I'm not condemned, because I have believed. And it's not what we have done for in this world. It's not how we have lived a life. It's what we have received by God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you notice in the 19th verse it says, and this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They are evil. They were evil. And today we see that men love darkness. They don't come to the light to expose their sins. And that's what the 20th verse brings out. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. The reason this place is not packed with people is because they don't want to hear about their sins. They don't want to be reminded of their sins. They don't want to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And individuals don't love to follow Christ because their deeds are evil. Now, isn't it amazing how many people today are living in sin? And if you rebuke them about their sin, they don't like it. They don't like to be told. If a mother goes to her daughter and says, daughter, you shouldn't do that. That daughter's angry at the mother and says, what right does she have to preach to me? Mother, mind your own business. A father goes to his son and says, son, you're doing wrong. You're not living for the Lord, and you're living in sin, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Son, don't you realize that you're sinning against the holy and a righteous God? The son will get very angry at his father and say, mind your own business, Dad. I know you're interested in me, and I know you want to go to church, but that's not my life. That's your life, Dad, and I want to live my own life. And people today are wanting to live their own life instead of the life that God would want them to live in Christ Jesus. Beloved, our hearts are sad, and the reason they don't come to Christ, and the reason they don't come to church, is they don't want their sins to be exposed. Now, notice the difference, as we've already mentioned this in the previous lesson, but notice what it goes on to say in the 21st verse. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Oh, beloved, when you do the truth, you come to the light. And notice why we come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. As we pointed out before, the deeds of our life, we want to be made manifest that they are wrought in God. We don't want to walk the wrong way. We want to walk for Christ. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people today aren't walking that way. They're walking in the sinful flesh, and that's why they don't come to church. That's why they don't come where the Word of God is. They don't come to Bible study, because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. Beloved, sometimes people get upset when you speak very plainly about sin. But if there's ever a day that preachers need to be giving out the Word of God, and with force and with power and without apologizing to the congregation, it's today to show them how to live for Jesus Christ. I had two in my own city tell me not long ago. They said, you know, we wish our preachers would tell us the truth. We wish they'd just lay it out and tell us how to live. They were Christian people. They wanted to know from God's Word. And some people and some preachers are so afraid that they might offend somebody. Well, what if you do offend them? If that person goes to hell and you've never offended them, beloved, Was it any good to keep them away from being offended by you? Wouldn't it be better to offend them a little bit in the Word of God and show them their error of their way, that the Christian might repent of their sin and turn to God and live for God? If they don't know the way, how can they walk in it? And that's why a Christian who's a true born-again believer wants to come to the Lord's Word, wants to read His Bible, and wants to pray. And let me say this morning, friend. If there's somebody here that you're not really listening to God speak to you when you read His Word, you better get before Him and say, "Oh God, I'm further away than what I thought. And how I need to get back to Thee to know what Thy precious Word says. And oh God, speak to me through Thy Word and step on my toes and may I live a life for Jesus Christ." There are so many today that are living careless lives, and we need to come to the Word of God, as the 21st verse says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Oh, are we coming to the Word of God? Are we coming to the light of God's precious Word to know what it says to our heart and life? Now notice quickly in the 22nd verse, this is where our chapter starts this morning, in the 22nd verse, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." Now we notice the Lord Jesus Christ is in the place of Judea. John was there also baptizing. It wasn't too far from Salem, right in that area there, where we notice even in the next verse where John was baptizing himself because there was much water in the place. And you know, right away now, Satan is going to use this to discourage the servant John. John is a wonderful character in the Word of God, and as we've studied God's precious Word to see the life of John, how it has thrilled our hearts to see how John himself even asked the Lord Jesus Christ if he was the one later on in our chapter because he got a little discouraged. But right now, beloved, he's baptizing. He's giving out the great message that we found in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. For let's just turn back again in the first chapter to that very familiar verse of Scripture in the 29th verse. And you notice John was baptizing, but the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and it says in that 29th verse, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He had the greatest message to give to the world because he was the greatest preacher of all times. Jesus Christ said that. John, there was no greater than John the Baptist. It wasn't that he had such a long ministry. Some feel that John only preached for about 6 months, and it was all over with after 6 months. It was a finished ministry. But, beloved, he did what God wanted him to do. And this is the important thing that I see in my own life and heart. I might not be able to reach the masses of people like you would like to do. Every preacher would love to get up and preach to thousands and thousands of people and see them won to Christ. Any man that's in business today, no matter what kind of business he is, he wants to have his business to be the best business. If he's a landscaper, he wants to be the best landscaper. If he's a truck driver, he wants to be the best truck driver. If he's a banker, he wants to be the biggest banker and the best banker. And he wants to be the president of the bank. And that's the same way with any preacher. He'd like to have a lot of followers. But you know, we get something here in this third chapter of the Gospel of John that really touches my heart of John the Baptist. Oh, there was no jealousy in him, beloved. Oh, and we see in God's Word today, in God's work today, that there's so easy for jealousy to creep in among preachers because we all want the greatest amount of people at our church. We want people to come down forward Sunday after Sunday as we preach. And for everybody to say, "Well, when that man preaches, hundreds are saved." We'd all like to have that. But, beloved, that's glorying in the flesh. That's glorying in the flesh, and that's one thing that God does not want. You notice in the 24th verse of this third chapter of John, it says here, "For John was not yet cast into prison." Now, notice the 25th. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Now, you notice how the devil is trying to bring jealousy into the heart of John here. Here he shows John the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Now, John, you're the one that introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one that said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, look what you've done, John. All of those followers that were following you are now following the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to the first chapter once again in the Gospel of John and the 35th verse. We notice these words, what it says from the Word of God. And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Beloved, here he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ to two of his disciples that were walking with him. Instead of following John now, they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're following the Savior. Instead of following John, and John introduces, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And as soon as he introduces these two disciples to the Lord, they forsake John and they start following Christ. You know, a lot of us preachers, if we knew, if we introduced some of our congregation to another preacher, we'd say, "Oh, wait a minute, I don't want him to know that person because he might get them for their his congregation. And then I'll be too less in my congregation." And so we try to protect our people and keep them away from other preachers. Or sometimes we won't allow a preacher to come into our midst and preach because we're afraid that he might have followers and the people might want to listen to him instead of listening to us, and jealousy creeps up. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it cruel what the devil does to us? But there shouldn't be any jealousy in us, as there wasn't in John. For notice John's answer here in the 27th verse. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Beloved, I can't have anybody following me unless heaven gives them to follow my messages that I preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shouldn't be followers of me. They should be followers of Christ, because I should say, like the Apostle Paul, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Let me instruct you in the Word of God that you might be drawn close to the blessed Redeemer." It's not me, but it's Christ. And you see, this is what John says. A man can't receive nothing except it be given him from above. Why be jealous about it? If they're following Christ, they're Christ's disciples, and this is exactly what I should be. And you notice the next answer that he brings forth. "Ye yourselves bear witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." He knew that he was just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Repent, repent of your sin." And I think it would be good for us to turn to the Gospel of Luke for a moment, to a few verses of Scripture. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning, to the 3rd chapter, and just see some of the preaching of John the Baptist. You know, he was one that really brought out the truth to the people, and some of the people didn't like some of the things he said. But notice the third chapter of Luke and the 10th verse, and it says these words, "And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none." Well, that's Christianity, isn't it? That's really something. Here he says, "You that have two coats, impart to him that hath none." You see, John the Baptist, as he preached, he brought out the truth. He was not a compromiser. He brought it right down to the truth. He went right at him. Notice the 11th verse. "He answered and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." In other words, share with your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't have a coat, give him your coat. Now, this is a hard thing when you think John was, they were asking him what they should do to inherit eternal life. What should they do to live for God? And he brought it right out. You might say the golden rule. Do to your brother. Help your brother. If he doesn't have a coat, give him a coat. If he doesn't have food and you have food, share it with him. And you know, that's exactly what we should do today as Christians. Oh, how we should look on the affairs of others to try to help. And beloved, as we see today, so many people are unemployed. And we that are employed and have a little bit to share with our friends, let's share it. Let's be kind. We might be the ones out of a job next week. You know, as I look over the country and as I travel throughout the country, I see a lot of unemployment, and my heart is touched. I see a lot of believers that they're in desperate needs. I've heard of some losing their homes and losing their furniture and losing their cars. And some of us would sit back and say, well, you know, when they were making a big wage, they weren't very wise. Well, are any of us wise? Are any of us wise? Oh, beloved, it can be taken from us. That's why it's not good to put all of our eggs in this world's basket.
that say, I want the things of this world, and I want my daughter to have the best education, and I want my son to have the best education, and I'm going to plan for the future, and we're planning all for this life. And yet we're not planning for eternal life. We're giving all kinds of things to our children down here that will go up in flames and they can lose in a moment of time. I knew a man that was rich and had a great deal of wealth, and he left it to his children. And as soon as he died, his children just spent it and was gone in a few days. I told another rich man some years ago that I was living with in Florida. I said to him, I said, you know, if you don't watch that, you're going to give all your inheritance to your children and they're going to spend it in just a little while and it's all going to be gone because your children don't know how to take care of money like you do. And so he told me not long after that, he said, Jim, I've done something about that. I said, about what? He said, you talked to me about my children will lose it all in just a few days after I would die. He said, well, I put it in a trust fund. So he said, if anything happens to me, they just get so much, so much. He had a lot of money. And, beloved, he knew that his son and his daughter couldn't take care of the wealth that he had, that they just spend it like it was water. And, you know, that he wanted to protect them, that they would have things in the future. And so he just allowed them out of his inheritance to get so much. You see, he knew how to make money. He had the privilege of it. But you see, here, John is really preaching to them. He says to them, he let him that, let's back up to the 11th verse. And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You see, his preaching is straightforward. Now notice the 14th verse. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, that wouldn't go over too good today, would it, that kind of preaching? If I'd get up and say to all of you men that were working hard for your living, and I'd say to you, now you just be content with your wages. You see, this isn't popular preaching, is it? This isn't the preaching that gets you a lot of followers. Here, John was just telling them the truth. If you have something, help your neighbor. If you have meat to give him, give it to him if he doesn't have anything to eat. If you have two coats, give him one coat if he's cold. You need to help. You need to have the Christian spirit. And you see, even the church was not born at this time. And yet John was preaching straightforward. He even went to Herod. Remember when he comes into the presence of Herod and he speaks to him, even in, look at the 19th verse. And this is what happened to him. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and now John told Herod to his face about his sin. You see, he doesn't mince any words here. Now notice what he says. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evil which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. John looked at Herod. It's not nice to go to kings or the presidents and say, look at here, you sinned. Now, you see, he had done something wrong. He warned Herod. He reproved him by Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he said, you're not supposed to have her. And this made him angry. He shut John up in prison. And because of being truthful, he lost his head. Beloved, it costs sometimes to be an honest preacher of God's word. It sometimes costs popularity. Sometimes it costs position. Sometimes it costs you not being invited back to a place because you stepped on somebody's toes. And some places, they don't like to have their feathers ruffled up. They don't like to be told about their sin. But you notice exactly again what we see in the 3rd chapter of John in the 21st verse. It says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Beloved, if we're a true believer in Jesus Christ, we shouldn't mind when somebody comes to us and say, brother, you've sinned. We should say, brother, thank you for telling me. I thank you for warning me. He came to Herod and said, Herod, look, you sinned. You shouldn't have that woman for your wife. You've sinned against God. And because of it, John lost his head. He was put in prison. Somebody else would say, well, now, you know, he could have been a little bit more tactful. He could have said to Herod, well, no, Herod, you know, you shouldn't do these things. and I think it would be better if you wouldn't have her for your wife. Listen, that's not the way to go about it. If a man has sinned, tell him he sinned. You might lose your head for it, but at least you have a soft pillow to lay your head on in heaven, because the Lord God of heaven appreciates those that speak truthful. And beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, why shouldn't we tell the truth when we preach? Why should we be what I call Mickey Mouses today? Just do what the people want you to say and to pat them on the back and tell them they're doing all right. They know they're not doing right. Why not be honest with God's word and tell them the truth? And that's what we mean to get at in God's word. So we noticed John's preaching wasn't the most popular preaching. He came forward. He just preached for 6 months. But he did what God wanted him to do. Now let's go back to our chapter quickly, beloved, and see what he says here. Even as we get into the third chapter, we notice that God is speaking to John through this, and you notice what it says in let's look at verse 26 again. And they came unto John and said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all men come to him. Now, you notice that John, as he's hearing these things, he's touched to his heart. But you notice his response. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. It's God that's giving him the followers. And then he brings out, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. He never said he was the Christ. He was the forerunner. He was the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, before John was born, Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth was his mother. And as he was doing his offering, even before God in the tabernacle there in the temple, as he went to do his service, the angel of God appeared to him, and he says, you're going to have a son. And you know that Zechariah made some kind of a motion, and the angel said, because of your unbelief, you're not going to speak until the child is born. And you remember, even when the child was born, they wanted to call him Zechariah, and they said, no, his mother said, his name shall be called John. And so they gave a tablet to Zechariah, and he wrote, his name shall be called John. It was given from God, that name. And he's going to be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when we studied the first chapter of John, we looked at that, and let's just turn to it for a moment. Remember, it says in that verse, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We pointed out there it wasn't some great flattering title that God gave to John. His name was just John. Why? Because John wasn't the Christ. John wasn't the Lord. John wasn't Jesus. He was the one to bear witness of the Lord Jesus. And beloved, all he was a little opening up of the light to the world. Behold, the light of the world. You notice in that first chapter what he brings out, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was sent to bear witness of the light. He wasn't the light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. He told the world that the light's here, the light's on, and you can be saved. He was the forerunner. He was the one that gave the greatest message, as we've already pointed out in this message. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, notice what it says in the next verse. Now, some Bible scholars say that it couldn't be possible that John knew about the church. Well, beloved, it's still referring to the church. Some say this is not referring to the church. But I believe it is referring to the church, these next words that we see. For you notice what it says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, as we look at this portion right here, some Bible teachers say, well, John knew nothing about the church. The church wasn't exposed to him. He didn't know about it. And so because of that, he wasn't speaking about the church. Well, beloved, how about all the Old Testament prophets? When they spoke even about the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't know what they were writing. Isaiah, when he wrote the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, probably didn't know what he was writing about. And yet God gave to him a vision about it, and God moved his pen that he should write the things that we have in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah. A lot of things that the prophet spoke about, they didn't enter into or understand. And they would have liked to look into them. Now we, in a day in which we are living in, beloved, let me say this, we are living in the most exciting days of the world's history. We are living in the last days of the world's history, I do believe. We're at the end of the church age, and we have seen things fulfilled from the beginning of our Bibles right up to the place in which we are studying this morning and through the book of Revelation this last year. It's been thrilling to me. I've spoken Durham at the Gospel Center preaching on the chart, Eternity to Eternity, and we saw some precious souls get saved there. Thank God for each one that was saved during those meetings. And then we went on to another place in South Carolina, in Cassette, South Carolina, and we had a campaign there where we spoke on the book of Daniel, and six got saved during the campaign. And then I had a telephone call a few days ago saying six more have been saved. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Then we went up into Ohio, and we had meetings up in Ohio, and what a wonderful joy it was to be in Ohio preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there once again, I was speaking on the chart, Eternity to Eternity. It seems like a lot of people are wanting to know what the end times are like and what's before them. And so we went there and preached on the chart there, and two precious souls were saved there. Isn't it wonderful to see God's blessing on the preaching of His Word? Now, when I preach on these things, the second coming of Christ and all of these things, it's wonderful to see the eyes of people opened up. But remember, John maybe didn't understand all that he was in. He probably didn't understand all of the church. But he brings out great truth here that applies right to the church age. And I think, by the Holy Spirit of God revealing to John what the Lord Jesus Christ was, that he was the bridegroom, and he would receive the bride, which would be the church. You and I that are saved, that have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the bride of Christ. We make up those precious jewels that God is gathering together as He's calling people out for His namesake. Remember in the Old Testament, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, we know brings out about the beginning of the world, and He's dealing with all kinds of nations. But then, beloved, after the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis starts, God speaking to the people of Israel. He calls a man Abraham out for himself, a peculiar people, and the Israelite nation was born through the loins of Abraham. Then we notice God deals all the way through the Bible, except through the book of Daniel, which is really a Gentile book, and sometimes when you say that, it upsets people, but that's all right. Nevertheless, it's true, because the Jews are in captivity. They're brought down there in the book of Daniel, and we see they're under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar and other rulers because they have disobeyed God's word, and we notice that the Jewish nation is there and held in captivity because of their sin. Then after the book of Daniel, God again deals with the Jewish nation as a whole, and through it, we hear how God speaks through the Old Testament. But then we get into the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God is still dealing with the Jewish nation as He sends His only begotten Son into the world to save His people from their sins, to save Israel. He came out to His own, but His own received Him not. And the verse goes on, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. What a great thing it is to see that God opens these things up in His precious Word. And you and I know this morning, beloved, that God is speaking to the children of Israel. But you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is speaking still to Israel. And then we get the Acts of the Apostle, where the church is born. But before, even when the church is born, it's all Jewish in the beginning. God speaks to that Jewish nation through Stephen, and He asks them to repent of their sin, but they repent not. He speaks to them before Stephen through the lips of Peter as he asks the nation to repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. But it was only 3,000 that repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of them didn't repent of their sin or turn to Christ, as we see in the Word of God. They repented not of their sin, nor did they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. After Peter preached to them, 3,000 were, and we thank God for the 3,000, and then 5,000 were saved. But, beloved, when it came to the preaching of Stephen, he preached to the nation, and he asked them to repent, and Jesus Christ was ready to come. He was standing at the right hand of God, ready to come. But they didn't receive Him. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't receive Him as Lord and Savior. They rather stoned Stephen. They stoned Stephen, and every stone that they throwed at Stephen wasn't for Stephen, but was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there on, God
gathers out a people for his namesake. Now you say, why did you go into all that when you're preaching here on John? Well, I'm trying to bring to your mind and heart what John is seeing. John probably knew that all of these things would happen. And beloved, as we get into that, this 29th verse, it says, he that has a bride is the bridegroom. Jesus Christ is going to receive a bride for himself, a peculiar people. Just like the Jewish nation was a peculiar nation and is a peculiar people to this day. And even today, this morning, as we're speaking to you, remember this, that there's a lot going on over in that Mideast countries that we don't understand. And beloved, anything can happen at any moment. You know it and I know it. All of our men are trying to get peace over there, trying to get peace over there. And it seems like every time they get one fire out, it's another one that breaks out. They're still a peculiar people, but God has two peculiar people in the world today. It's the land of Israel, and it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's calling out Jew and Gentile alike to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's making up a bride for his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is a bridegroom. The church is the bride. And as it says, even in the book of Ephesians, for husbands to love their wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Now, John is saying he's not the bridegroom, but he's a friend of the bridegroom. And notice what his rejoicing is in. Notice what it says in that 29th verse. But he that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and this my joy therefore is fulfilled. He was happy because he could hear the bridegroom's voice. Are we happy when we hear the bridegroom's voice? Oh, beloved, maybe there's somebody here not saved. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never given your heart to him. But this morning you can. This morning you can receive him into your heart and life. Right where you sit, you can bow that head and say, oh, God, I am a sinner. And I want to be saved. I want to accept Christ as my Savior. I realize that he is the bridegroom. He is the one that went to the cross of Calvary and died for me. He is the one that loved the church and gave himself for me. And you see this morning that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. You're glad to hear his voice. Oh, I'm so glad that I heard the voice of the bridegroom. And John says his greatest joy was just to hear his voice. Just to hear his voice. And oh, beloved, if you've ever heard the voice of the Son of God speak to you, what a wonderful thing it is when you turn that life over to Jesus Christ and you're saved. You're saved for all eternity and you're forgiven of your sins and you're on your way to heaven. And this morning that can happen to you if you hear the bridegroom's voice say, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice what he says in that 30 verse. He must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, beloved, the greatest joy of John's life was to hear his voice. And after he heard his voice, he was so moved by the Son of God. He says, I must decrease. He must increase. I've been the forerunner. I've opened the door for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pointed the world to the world and said, look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I heard his voice, and that was enough for me. Enough for me to hear his voice and to cry out, repent of your sins and turn to Christ. Repent of your sins and turn to him. And he opened up the eyes of the world. And instead of following John, now they forsake John. And they follow Jesus. And he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, beloved, if every one of us Christians could only keep this in our heart and our life. It's not me. It's not you. It's Christ. It's not that we're something great, beloved. We're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. And anything that we have that's been given from above, isn't that what John said in that verse? Notice in the 28th verse. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He was a forerunner. He wasn't the one that should receive the glory and the honor. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we don't want to preach ourselves. We want to preach Christ Jesus. But maybe there's somebody right there that you've never noticed yourself, a lost, condemned sinner. Friends, you can't save yourself. The one who came to save you was Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary to be made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of Christ, that you, right where you sit, can receive Him, receive Jesus Christ's death on the cross to pay for your sin. It says in the Word of God in Romans, the 6th chapter and 23rd verse, the wages of sin is death. And it goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, beloved, He paid the death sentence for you. You've sinned. Now you need to come to Christ. You can come to Him and say, Lord, I do believe that you died for me, and I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. This morning, right where you sit, you can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you do it today? Will you do it this morning? Will you receive Him? Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Oh, Father, we just pray that Thou would speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and maybe there's one here that has never received Christ as their Savior. Oh, Father, this morning, could you speak to them? Could you speak to them in tender tones? Could you work with their heart and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ? And, Father, may they realize that Jesus died for them. And may they see that Jesus died on a cross to put away their sins. And this morning, maybe somebody hearing this message could be saved. And Father, we just pray that Thou bless Thy word and bless the invitation as it's given, that others might come to Thyself. We ask in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Could we sing in closing that familiar hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 249. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be saved this morning. The Lord has spoken to you. Why don't you just slip out of that seat and come down? Not going to save you by coming down, but, beloved, I can take God's word and show you how you can know you're saved. Or maybe you trusted the Lord during the message and you asked Him to save you. Why don't you just slip down so you can admit publicly that you received Him? Why don't you do that this morning? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you do it this morning? Shall we stand and sing number 249?
Father, that we have a mansion for us. We might not have much down here, but praise God. You have a man to man. Some people down here have everything. But out there they have nothing. Hope comes. May we change our values, and may we look into God's Word and get concerned that Jesus Christ is coming and might come today. God bless you, Ronnie, because it is to the person that needs to be saved. We pray that God would save that precious soul.